This morning we're in Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 4. And in the King James translation, it reads this way. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Not the easiest verse to understand. Just a second.
What's the matter?
Did you have a prayer? Or did we speak?
We'll back up a little bit. As I just reminded, I teach confirmation class. There are two rules in studying Scripture. And the first rule is always remember to pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the second rule is never forget rule number one. So we will not forget rule number one, and we'll begin the prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now, and you be with us as we meditate upon another section of your word, which is difficult but extremely blessed. And we pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to the word which you've given us, and explain the meaning of it to it as only you can do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luther made the remark that the Holy Spirit teaches us more than all the books that men have written. And that's especially true when we approach the verse that we're looking at this morning. To kind of set the stage a little bit, like the book of Revelation, remember that the Song of Solomon is written in different stages. It is not chronological from the beginning to the end, nor is Revelation. And if we don't understand that, we can be way, way off in interpreting the book. Each stage here in the book of Song of Solomon starts right where the book starts, in the middle of things. The bride has been lost and condemned, and the bridegroom has sought for her through his Holy Spirit and the Word. He has found her and brought her to faith. That's where the book starts. And so it starts from that beginning and goes to the end. Then it goes back to where it started again in the middle of things and goes to the end. And right now, as we're in chapter 3, verse 4, we're coming to the third ending of the section of a section. Three times, covering the same ground. And then we'll start again the next verse. So that's very important to remember when we look at verse 4 here of chapter 3. And immediately we think of the promise that Jesus gave us in Matthew 7, verse 7. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. It reads this way: keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be opened unto you. And this is what we've seen in the Bride of Christ during these opening verses in chapter 3. It's been a prolonged struggle. The bride had met with one failure after another. Twice already in chapter 3 of Song of Solomon, the bride has said concerning her search for her bridegroom, I sought him, but I found him not. And when she had asked of the watchman, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? She received no answer. They didn't have the slightest idea what she was talking about. There's a little bit of a turnaround here. In the beginning, Christ sought for her and found her. And once she has been found, now she is searching for him. And then finally, we come to verse 4 here, and she found him whom my soul loveth. She finally found him. And then the wedding bells began to ring. Her reaction was, I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. One key thing here in this section is perseverance. The bride overcame one obstacle after another in search of her bridegroom. She wouldn't quit until she had found him. And once she had found him, she wouldn't let him go. We have here a blessed example of the power of the Holy Spirit in preserving the Lord's elect bride. And the comforting truth that he gives us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It wasn't her own faith that did it. It wasn't her own strength that did it. It was the Holy Spirit dwelling within her and working through his word. So, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's take a look at the verse a little closer. It was but a little. This is the only reference of its kind in the whole book of Song of Solomon. It can be a space reference, and it can be a time reference. Looking at it as a space reference, it was but a little, just a little space. And then she found him. The truth is that we are never very far from Christ, and he is never very far from us, even though we cannot see him. And even though sometimes it seems like he's a billion light years away, the truth of the matter is that he's always very close. We think of Psalm 139, beginning at verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. So even though it seemed to the bride that Christ was a far, far distance from her, he was really very close. And the truth of the matter is, she couldn't have gotten away from his presence even if she tried. That's the truth of the matter. He's always with us, even in the middle of the storm. There's a time reference. To the bride, it must have seemed like an eternity that she was searching and not finding. But in reality, and compared to eternity, it was only a very short time. Holy Spirit tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. So, no, it wasn't very long. You were searching and not finding, but it really wasn't very long. And it was a light affliction. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's the trick in all of this. Don't look with the human eye at the things that are seen. Look with the eye of faith at the things which are unseen, and this takes us into eternity. Another thing we find out about the bride here is, I passed from them. The them are the watchmen, the ones who were supposed to be watching over her soul but really couldn't have cared less. And they had all the outward trimmings and all the amenities, but when it came to the one thing that's really important, have you seen my beloved? They were silent. She moved on. She left. Human beings are not to be rested on. The bride of Christ goes a little further. I passed from them. And shortly after that, she found the one she was looking for. Then she found her beloved. She went above and beyond. Now, remember the example of the Canaanite woman overcoming one obstacle after the other. And some of the obstacles were put there by the disciples themselves. Send her away. She's a bother. She's crying after us. Get rid of her. And the Savior himself seemed to be denying what she wanted. But she kept at it. Kept at it. And finally, he said, O woman, great is thy faith, and her daughter was healed. Since the watchman could not tell the bride where to find her bridegroom, she left them. And she kept on searching, and before long her search was rewarded. Those who keep on searching will find Christ. And the Holy Spirit can teach you more and will teach you more than any books written by human beings. And she followed the command, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. When we look at the path that she walked, this bride, it's called taking the kingdom by force. Matthew 11, verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Much violence is wicked. There is some violence that is good, and she had it. She overcame one obstacle after the other in searching for the bridegroom, and finally she found him. Some passages here that are of comfort to us. Just a scratching the surface. Psalm 42, verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. We have a God who gives us songs in the night. That's precious beyond words. Psalm 77, verses 9 and 10. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. This is some valuable instruction when we're under the clouds of carrying a cross. Remember the good days that God has given you before this, and look for a blessing in these days of darkness. And the blessings will come, and the good days will return. Isaiah 54, 7 and 8. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. Not forsaken in an absolute sense. Forsaken is kind of in quotes. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather me. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. And in the book of the prophet Habakkuk, short little book, chapter 2, verse 3, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." So, especially when we're cross-carrying, we zero in on the precious promises that we have recorded by the Holy Spirit for us in Scripture. And not only zeroing in on the promises, but more importantly, on the one who made the promises. A lot of people make promises they can't keep. The Lord God makes promises that He's able to keep, and He will keep. And it's a truth that most of the precious promises that God gives us are not going to be kept until the judgment day and eternity. Some of them will be, but most of them will not. So we wait for that day. We wait for the day when the bridegroom comes back and gives us the new heaven and the new earth. And then all of these promises are going to be kept. "Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Well, finally, the breakthrough comes here. "I found him whom my soul loveth." And again, now we have to understand this correctly, and I'm sure by now we certainly do, but you think of Matthew 13:44, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." So you can say that the man found the treasure, but in reality, the treasure found him. When he went out to plow the ground in spring, he wasn't looking for a treasure. That was the last thing on his mind. He was plowing up the ground, getting it ready for the planting. When the plow hit something, he probably thought it was a rock. Well, it was, but not the kind of rock he would have thought. It was a treasure. So you can say he found it, but the treasure really found him. So here, you can say the bride found the bridegroom, which in a way she did. But really, he's the one that found her. He found her first, and then once she was converted by the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word, then she started seeking for him. And that's what it's talking about. Remember, the book of Song of Songs begins in the middle of things. A lot has already happened. And so we can understand this verse. I found him whom my soul loveth. She did. She was searching, and she found him. And the promise is, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now we come to the final verses here, the final words of the verse, which are not the easiest to understand. But to starting out here, I held him and would not let him go. Mary Magdalene had found Jesus on Easter morning, or rather he found her, but she was looking for him too, just like the bride was here. And when Jesus called her by her name and she realized who it was, then she wanted to grab hold of him, and he said, "Don't touch me, I've not yet ascended to my Father." So what was the problem here? The problem was this, that if she had been able to touch him, she'd have grabbed hold of him and she wouldn't have let go. And that was not quite the time for it yet. A lot of things had to happen before that final time, which the bride is talking about here. There had to be an ascension into heaven. A whole bunch of other things had to happen before Christ comes back. But we're talking here now about the final day. This is the third ending in the book of the first three sections of time. And now we're talking about the final, the marriage day. She grabbed hold of him, I held him, but I wouldn't let him go. Those who know how hard it is to find Christ, and it's not an easy thing, It's a very difficult road to follow. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And those that know how difficult it is are going to labor to not lose what they found. The harder it is to get something, the more you're going to fight to keep it. And the fact, you know, in sports, there's a saying about teams that want to win a championship. And the saying is that getting to the top is easy. The difficult thing is staying there. That's the tough part, because then you've got a target on your back and everybody's aiming for you. Well, when we find Christ, that is where a real battle begins, and Satan will see to that. Think of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18. She, that's wisdom, with capital W, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy or blessed is everyone that retaineth her. There is such a thing as losing faith. There is such a thing as finding the Savior and grabbing hold of him and then letting him go and turning back. That happens. It's not going to happen to the bride. Finding Christ does not end there. The next thing is to labor to keep him. The elect bride knows this, and she acts upon it. How does she do this? How do you keep hold of Christ? You meditate upon his word day and night. That's how you do it. You take him with every step you take in your whole life. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. My whole life revolves around that. To die is gain. So she grabs hold of Christ. A lot of times a family situation opens scripture to us. And you think of a little weeping child that's running and grabs hold of his mother and holds her. The child holds on to her, not because the child is stronger than she has. She could easily break away, but she doesn't, because she loves the child. And so you can say the child is holding on to the mother and will not let her go. And that's exactly what we have here with the bride of Christ. She won't let him go. And he is condescending. He will allow us to hold him and not let him go. The Almighty, powerful God. There's a verse here that, it's not here, it's in Psalm 110, a psalm that is quoted, I believe, more often than any other psalm in the New Testament. And in verse 3, it says this, Psalm 110, verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The words we're interested in right now are the first words. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And the day of thy power is when the Holy Spirit converts us, gives us a new beginning, and brings us to Christ and allows us to lay hold upon him and never let go. It's summed up in the phrase total commitment or unconditional surrender. The children of the devil hate Jesus Christ with every part of their being. They hate everything he says. They hate everything he does. There's no agreement between light and darkness. They won't call him Lord. They won't let him be a lord over them. They won't let him give commandments. Their battle cry is, we will not have this man to rule over us. Don't write, he's the king of the Jews, write, he says he's the king of the Jews, because we have no king but Caesar. We will not have this man to rule over us. That's their battle cry. For the bride is willing in the day of God's power. And this is of the Holy Spirit. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that overcomes our natural resistance and hatred toward the Son of God, turns our heart into love for Him, and brings us to Him. And finally, we're willing to even die for Him. We want to be with Him forever. Now, the verse that we're looking at ends this way. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Now, what on earth is the Holy Spirit talking about here? One interesting thing here is that it's the mother's house that's mentioned, not the father's. And admittedly, these words are not the easiest to understand, but they are very blessed. They take us as the bride of Jesus Christ into the eternity and His kingdom of glory. There happens to be another passage in Scripture that uses the same thought, same terminology, and I believe this is the key that opens the lock for us. And it's found in Genesis chapter 24. This is a very, very blessed chapter. It starts out, I'm going to read selected verses of it and end the sermon with this because it is so important and it relates exactly to what we're talking about. Now, Abraham was old. This is Genesis 24, beginning at verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Isn't that a nice summary of a person's life? Isn't this the kind of summary that we want said of our life? When we're old and look back on everything, the Lord had blessed us in all things. And this is the promise that we have. All things work together for good to them that love God. And even though we can't understand that when we're going through some of the problems and crosses we're carrying, at the end it'll all be clear to us. And we're going to find out that there was blessings in every single breath that we took, every single step that we took. Everything. There's grace involved in everything that happens to us. That's blessed beyond words. And that's what Abraham had, and in a certain sense, spiritually, we're sons of Abraham. Same truth for us. Okay, so we keep going. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. This is quite a servant, isn't it? He's an old servant, and he's ruling over everything that Abraham has. That gives us a clue to something. He said to his elder servant that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Here we learn something. The oldest servant, the elder servant, has a commission from Abraham. And the commission is, find a wife for my son Isaac. We'll keep going. The servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. You know, that could happen. You mean I'm supposed to go into a land that's hundreds of miles away and find a woman and try to bring her back to be married to Isaac, and she doesn't even have a picture of him. She's never met him. She doesn't know anything about him. What if she won't come back? Then what do I do? Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me. Well, thy people are willing in the day of thy power. Remember that? Then must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou came. If she won't come back with me to get him, should I bring him back so he can meet her? Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. I don't want him to leave the promised land. And you know, during his whole life, Isaac never left the promised land. He lived his whole life there. And Abraham didn't want him to leave. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if it happen, if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of this thine oath. Then let it be that way, but bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. Okay, if you want to just look at the outward thing here, you've got Abraham the father sending a servant to get a wife for his son Isaac. There's something deeper here. It's the father, the son, and the servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. The father sends the Holy Spirit into a far country to find the wife for the son. This is so important, we've got to get it straight. It's, if you want to put it crassly, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to find the elect bride of Jesus Christ and bring her home. It's not your job, it's not my job. It's the Holy Spirit's work. And he knows how to do it, and he will. And so the Holy Spirit is key to this whole thing. And I believe that when they're talking about, I'm going to bring him into my mother's house, I mean, it's the house of the Holy Spirit, and into the chamber of him that conceived me, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. I believe this is a reference to the Holy Spirit. And this is the blessed ending of it. You know the rest of the story, how Rebecca was willing to come back and marry a man she'd never seen. And we think of what Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Well, in Genesis 24, verse 58, the servant presented his case to the parents, and they didn't want to say about it. She's their daughter, too. And so they finally said, let's ask her. Let's ask her and see what she says. So they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Here you have a miracle of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And here it is. She said, I'll go. And so they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men, and they blessed Rebecca, and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of them which hate them. That's quite a blessing to give somebody, isn't it? And Rebecca arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now we're getting to the verse we're after, but I wanted you to get the context of this. The context is the marriage of God's only begotten son to his bride. That's the context of it. And that's what we're talking about in Song of Solomon. The whole book revolves around that. And so Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi. He was by a well. Water's in a well. Water's the symbol of the word of God throughout Scripture. And for he dwelt in the south country, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. Now, remember, Isaac knows that the servant has been sent away to find a wife for him. What do you think he was meditating about? It's not rocket science, is it? So he's meditating in the field during the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Now he can hear the wedding bells ringing. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Now we come to Genesis 24, verse 67. And it reads this way. And Isaac brought her, that's his bride, into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now notice the parallel. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, tent, and into the chamber of her that conceived me. So the action that Isaac has toward his wife here in Genesis 24 is parallel here to what the bride has to her bridegroom in Song of Solomon chapter 3 verse 4. And the Holy Spirit's fingerprints are on this whole thing. This is one of the most blessed verses of all Holy Writ because it describes in detail here the wedding, the consummation of the wedding of Jesus Christ and his bride. The wedding that all history has been moving toward. From the time in the Garden of Eden when the Father brought Eve to Adam to be his wife, the first marriage performed in paradise. And every marriage since has been pointing toward this great final wedding day when the Son of God is going to come back and take his bride to be with him forever. And the bride is willing in the day of God's power. And a royal escort will be given her at the last day, not by a bunch of camels, but by the holy angels. And they will escort her into paradise to the marriage altar to be given to her bridegroom forever. And all the obstacles now have been overcome. There won't be any more. And Satan, who has been trying to stop this marriage from taking place, now can only look on helplessly from his kingdom of darkness. We think of the opening words of John's Gospel from the Amplified Translation. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him. And without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. never put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. But the light conquers the darkness, and the wedding will take place.